to Chinese New Year. Now, for those of you who know anything about Chinese New Year, it comes with red envelopes. Last year, when I was preaching in the Chinese Evangelical Church of Queens, I was preaching on Chinese New Year. And so I had the good pleasure of talking to your pastor about it, and he was kind enough to give me a stack of red envelopes. Now, it goes without saying that Citibank was stamped right on them. And so we celebrated that. And, of course, the Chinese New Year, the red envelope, is a way to show a blessing. Some people are arguing that the marriage rate is going down because the word on the street is that if you're married, you no longer get red envelopes. But we'll leave that for another day. But today we're talking about a father's blessing, and the passage of Scripture is Genesis 27. Many of you are very familiar with that passage when it comes time to give the father's blessing. Now, we need to remember that Genesis 27 was written for that particular period of time. So let's talk a little bit about what that would look like. A father's blessing was a one-time gift that the father would give to the child. And typically, although not necessarily at the end of the child or the end of the father's life, but the son oftentimes would not know when the blessing was coming. So the thought of somehow drifting off far in the far country, and at that point the father decided to give the blessing if he wasn't there, so they wanted to tend to kind of stay close to home. One day, Isaac decides this is it. This is the day I want to give the blessing, and so he announces it, but he doesn't go on the radio with it. It's a very private type of situation. Perhaps maybe Rebecca and was the only one who knew. But see, she knew that who was going to get the blessing. It was Esau. But she did not want Esau to get the blessing. She wanted Jacob to get the blessing. Why? Because Jacob was her favorite. And clearly, she decided, as you know, a scheme. And so, as it worked out, right, they tricked the father, and he ends up giving the blessing to the wrong person, right? But a couple of times, right, Isaac was concerned. He said, "Are you sure that you're Esau? Your voice sounds like, right, Jacob, but you feel like Esau." And so there was a deceiving that went on three times. Now, the father could barely see at this point, but the father continued to wonder, right, "Are you sure that you're the right person? Are you sure?" And so he gives the blessing, right, to Jacob, and Jacob leaves. And then Esau comes, and he's all prepared to give the meal, and he said, "Well, Father, It's me, Esau." And now Jacob was heartstruck, or Isaac was heartstruck, because he had just given the blessing. Now, you need to know that once the father gave the blessing, that was the law. If that happened today, you could almost see Esau lowering up, right? And somehow contract law and kind of figure this is not valid and so on. But once that blessing went out, it was Jacob's blessing. And Esau had no blessing. And so Esau is crying out, "Father, don't you have a blessing for me? Don't you have one for me?" Which takes us today in the 21st century. The principle, of course, is of the father's blessing is that a father has an opportunity to convey a sense of value, a sense of purpose, and a sense of pride in a child. And yet through our journeys, what we're finding is that many, many people go through life never receiving a father's blessing. And as a result of not receiving a father's blessing, it creates a tremendous sense of wound, a sense of toxic shame that somehow I'm not lovable, I'm not good enough, and I will never amount to anything because I did not receive my father's blessing. And as a result of not receiving a father's blessing, people will try many things to try to fill the emptiness. Perhaps perfectionism or workaholism or all different types of addictions. Or perhaps I'd be a womanizer and conquer women here and there. But nothing satisfies that emptiness that only would have come through a father's blessing. And I was thinking about over the years, what are some of the situations where you wouldn't receive a father's blessing? One of them would be where a father was abusive. Perhaps he was abusive physically. Or emotionally or sexually. And as a result of that experience that we did not receive that blessing, and not only didn't we receive it, we received a deeper and more significant wound. Second part would be that the father just was not there. Many people grow up where their father is just not present. So maybe he wasn't present because of death, or maybe he wasn't present because of divorce or abandonment. And yet, regardless of the reason, because the father wasn't there, oftentimes that leaves a deep and longing wound that we look to kind of satisfy. One of the things that many women try to do when this happens is that they try to play the role of mother and father. Perhaps you know someone like that. And so it's, think about it this way. If mother represents vitamin A and father represents vitamin B, an overdose of vitamin A will not make up for vitamin B, leaving compromising the quality of the vitamin A. And so many people do not have that father's blessing because the person wasn't there. And thirdly, as the case, and oftentimes the father's blessing is not there because the father was very critical, right? And everything that you did was never good enough. No matter how hard you worked, no matter what the situation would be, you would never get the blessing because there would always be something that was wrong. I'm never good enough. Leaving a sense of, I have to become somebody who I'm not in order to get valued and respected by my father. Leaving an awful lot of inner anger and an inner shame that can follow us for many, many, many years at this point. Now, this might be the case, right, at this point. And so we step back and say, well, what do I do? What do I do if I grew up and not had a father's blessing? Is there something that I can do about it? What about now? I have children. I didn't get a father's blessing from my father. How do I then give a blessing to my children if I did not have that myself? So let's look at a couple of ingredients that go into a father's blessing. Number one is touch. Notice when Isaac called to Esau, thinking it was Esau, he said to him, kiss me, kiss me. And so the concept of touching or kissing or holding was part of the blessing, right, that oftentimes can be given. Now, fortunately for me, my father never touched me. And I say fortunately because there were many times he wanted to touch me, but not necessarily tenderly, if you kind of get what I mean. Now, so all my adult life, there never was one time, or all of my life, there was never one time that I was physically touched by my father. But when I was a young child, we would have company come to the house, and maybe I was about 6 years old, and this particular man, his name was Joe Cobb, never forget. And Mr. Cobb would come, and every time he would come up to me, and he would begin to feel my ear. And then he would go, okay, all right. And then he would feel the other one, and he would make, okay, you're coming along, son. And this would happen for at least 7 years. Every time he would come to the house, and maybe it would be like six times a year. But as a little child who had never been touched, right, by a male, that touching of the ear was huge. But then as I got a little older, perhaps 12, Mr. Cobb would come, and he would probably think, well, maybe that's a little boy thing. And I remember at 12 or 13 going up to Mr. Cobb and saying, Mr. Cobb, you haven't checked my ears in a while. Because the tenderness of his touch on my ear was so powerful. So a blessing often is connected with being able to touch someone. UCLA does some research, and they said that every person, and for having a healthy sense of self, needs to be touched at least 8 times a day. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you to go, you know, okay, I got you in, right? And unfortunately, for men, sometimes the only way they know how to touch is having a sexual connotation to it, which will disqualify. But the reality, and you know what touches, right? Just passing by somebody, touching, patting you on the shoulder, just kind of touching you in a very genuine and appropriate way, right? It's kind of a touch of tenderness along those ways. And so it's always kind of a way of blessing, right, to someone to be able to use the touch. And so Isaac touched, right? He touched Jacob. He kissed him, right? He felt his skin, who he thought, oh, it feels like Isaac, because they had kind of doctored it up a little bit. And so he was able to, oh, it must be him, right, because the touch, right, was that. And so he received the blessing inappropriately, but he received it nonetheless by way of touching. Okay. You'd be surprised in preaching in different places. You know how the pastor typically goes to the back of the church? They do that here, right? And people will shake hands, right? There are some people, when they shake hands with Pastor Paul, that Pastor Paul is the only person they touch the entire week because of a number of different factors in terms of isolation or loneliness. So although it kind of is a routine kind of a deal, you never quite know when you're speaking at a church or pastoring and someone comes up, just that touching, that sense of connection is so, so powerful, especially for people who long for that. Now, the second thing that goes into getting a blessing has to do with words. Now, words are nice, right? You ever have somebody say, I love you, right? But then when it came time to see what really mattered, oh, I love you so much, I'd swim the ocean, right? I'd climb the highest mountain, I'd crawl through the desert. Well, can you come over tonight? No, it's raining. Words are nice. When more than words are needed, it'll always expose a charade. Jesus, I'll follow you, but first, you know that passage, but first, let me take care of it, but first. Words are nice. So a blessing needs words. I remember after my father died and my mother said to me, well, your father really loved you, but he never was able to say it. And so when you grow up in a situation like that, it becomes very difficult to give blessings yourself as a result. I can remember how difficult it was for me to tell my mother that I loved her. Maybe some of you can identify with that. I got to the point when my wife was with me, I said, before my mother died, I said, we love you. Isn't that special, right? Because why? Because the words are so difficult. They're just words, but they're more than just words. And so in order to receive a blessing, you need a special touch. You need a tender word. And sometimes the word is, I'm proud of you, right? I love you. You're special. And again, you don't want to create a perfectionist, because you know how you do that? All you go to do when your children do well is praise them. Oh, you guys sang so good. So good. Right? We invite them back next year, and maybe they've had a bad day, and we say nothing. In other words, we're connecting performance with value. And this is the way you want to raise a perfection. That's the way to do it. So why not give the blessing by looking at someone in their eyes and just saying, I'm so glad, right? I'm so proud of you, right? That you're my sister or that you're my daughter, right? And she has done nothing, right? And it's going to be a little feel of funny at first, right? So what does he really want? What's he looking for, right? Yeah, is he blowing smoke? You know the expression, blowing smoke? Yeah, or that's old school maybe. You get the idea, right? But words are very, very powerful at this point. But a blessing is more than just words. Now, in Old Testament time, it was considered a one-time deal. But in our era, it's a constant kind of a process. So you need to be giving the blessing to your children right from the cradle, right? Right from the cradle. I love you. You're special. But again, if that's not coming from within you, it's pretty difficult. Because guess what? Kids look like us, right? And so they become an extension of us. Or maybe we don't want them to get too soft, and we don't want them to get a big head, so we don't want to praise them too much. Right, and so we've got a tough, it's a tough world, right? So you got to start from the stretch. You have to earn, right? That's the reality. That's the message. But the third thing that's important is a vision, right? A vision. And so we see that when blessings were given in the Old Testament, right, there was a sense of hope and something that was going to happen in the future. And so when Isaac gives this blessing to Jacob, he's talking about what's going to happen in the future, right? Dr. Tammy is one of the musical artists at the school, but I would wonder, in your life growing up, perhaps somebody saw something in you before you saw it in yourself. Somebody put a blessing on you, that there is talent there, and perhaps you weren't ready to receive it fully. The same way with each of you. Someone in your life saw something in you before you could see it in yourself, right? The sense of hope, the sense of that there's a purpose for your living. And so when Jacob gets older, he has children and grandchildren, and he goes to give the blessing to them in the latter part of the book of Genesis. And he blesses each one, especially when you think of Judah. Now, Judah was not his favorite. Who was his favorite? Joseph, and then perhaps Benjamin. But Judah, he says, the blessing is that the scepter will not depart from you. That gave him hope. That gave him something, some purpose. There's a psychiatrist who says, called Viktor Frankl, talks about suffering, and he talks about suffering ceases to be suffering once it finds meaning. There are two types of pain. Pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. But you know yourself, if you're working hard and somebody is doing something, if there's a purpose behind it, you really feel driven, in fact, so that's a kind of gives you, you got the blessing as well. So we have touch, but we have words, and then we have a sense of purpose. I believe in you, right? Now, we need to remember, right, what happens if we did not receive the blessing? The message that Jesus received from his Father is that this is my Son whom I love, right? I am so proud of you, right? All right, I am embracing that. Now, let's step back. Someone was distributing Dixie cups today. Is that true? Now, there's a little debate going on what are these Dixie cups for. Now, if you guys did not get one, you want to make sure you get one before you leave. Okay? Except you're not quite sure what this is about. Okay? Now, Dixie cups are what you have, but I want to show you something else before. Now, you need to know that I had to sign a waiver for this. Now, Debbie, where's Debbie? Debbie, okay. Debbie, I got this for my wedding present in 1979, and it's a Waterford crystal. Now, when you get married and you're in your 20s, this is not necessarily on my list, right? What do we call it, a registry? A registry, right? It's kind of an, and my wife said, that, listen, honey, we still have all eight. There's no scratches on it, no chips. So I'm really two-handed person right now, okay? Now, the significance between the Waterford goblet is that we typically would put this in the china closet in our living room, and then especially when company come, we put the light on, right? And so it shines brightly, and it's like a trophy up there, right? A glass, right? And when, on Christmas Eve, when we would have our dinner, my wife and I would use this cup, but not our children, when they were small. Why? Because they were not old enough or responsible enough, right, perhaps easy to break. But when they got to the age, right, you could say the age of accountability, when it came time for Christmas Eve that they got to use this Waterford goblet for the first time, oh, it was such an honor. It was such a rite of passage into adulthood, which was quite similar to the blessing in the Old Testament. And so there they would be holding with two hands and never, ever put this in the dishwasher. You hand and you towel it and you put it back in that china closet until another 12 months, right? And there it sits, the place of honor, the place of pleasure. Let's go back now to our Dixie cups. Where do Dixie cups typically hang out in my house? It's the bathroom. You use it once, right? You crumble it up. And you throw it away, right? It serves a purpose, but not very much of a significant purpose as well. Now, a lot of times when you don't receive a father's blessing, it's like you feel like you're a Dixie cup. You ever feel like you're a Dixie cup? That some people are just using you, taking advantage of you for their own good? And yet we long to be treated like a Waterford crystal. So here's our take home for today. Now, I know that the majority of these Dixie cups, before today is over, are going to end up in a garbage. No harm, no foul, okay? But for some of you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a pin, and I want you to put a cross on the bottom of the Dixie cup, okay? And then what I want you to do is I want you to go home. You might have a china closet in the corner of your living room, the light on and all the special. Maybe there's special china. Maybe you have some antiques from great-grandparents, right, in terms of a vase or some type of crystal. And I want you to put the Dixie cup with the cross in it inside the most valuable crystal that you own. So what do I do if I didn't get the Father's blessing? I need to look inside the Dixie cup to the cross, because Jesus became the Dixie cup so I could be the Waterford goblet. So the power of not receiving the forgiveness is the realization that now once you put that Dixie cup in the Waterford, he looks at you and he says, daughter, I am so proud of you. I love you. You are my precious daughter. You are my precious son. I am so proud, because the Father then looks at us through the lens of Christ. Christ becomes the Dixie cup so that we could be the Waterford goblet. Very simple, and yet can be a very profound. Some of you will put that in. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Grandfather, great-grandfather didn't receive the blessing, but I can embrace the blessing. I can embrace the wound. And with this little Dixie cup pouring over that wound, it will help to remember you that you have received the blessing. You have received perfection. You have received the gift from God that you don't deserve and can never earn. So the next time you see a Dixie cup, remember the power of it. For most people, it's used, crumbled, and thrown away. But for you, it can be a source of healing and a source of strength. Put it in that most valuable vessel that you have and thank God for the Dixie cup that he became so that we could become precious in his sight. Amen. Tammy?